official Adam Sank Show merchandise at adamsank.com. T-shirts, tank tops, mugs, masks, just about everything you can think of emblazoned with the Adam Sank Show logo. Go to adamsank.com to order your merch today. Thank you.
Warning. The program you're about to hear contains highly offensive and indecent material.
This is the Adam Sank Show.
If it's in my hand, I'm going to suck it.
Powered by DNR Studios. And now...
the one, the only, Adam Sank!
Bottom.
Hey, 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 hey. It's me. Welcome. Welcome to the Adam Sank Show. We are live. Yes, live. If you're listening live at 11 a.m. Eastern on Saturday, July 24th at dnrstudios.com, which remains the only place and the only way in which you can hear this podcast live and throughout the week that it first airs. Hey, don't forget to download the new DNR Cast app. It is a really good app, I have to say. It's well-designed. You can easily listen to our show, to the other shows on the DNR Studios network. There's a chat room filled with cunts, to be quite honest. Really just a horrible group of people. But if you're into that sort of thing, you can chat with them about how much you hate me and everything else. Leave us your ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen to the podcast. Email me at adam@adamsank.com. Hey, if you're listening live, call in and talk to us, 804-825-5277. That's 804-TALK-ASS. You can call us anytime, even when we're not on the air, and leave us a voicemail. Like the Facebook page, download the comedy albums, get your official ass merch. T-shirts, tank tops, even an evil dwarf named Natalia. The link to all that is adamsank.com. Hear ye, hear ye. I'm going to play a fanfare now. Where is the fanfare? This is the last week for you to nominate us for a podcast award for 2021. So now through July 31st, go to podcastawards.com. Register as a nominator and a voter. It's quick and easy. They won't spam you. Nominate us in the LGBTQ and People's Choice categories. Please, I beg you, if everyone listening right now does this, we are sure to have a nomination. Meanwhile, our guest today is a wonderful comedian, someone I've been trying to get on the show for a very long time. She's never available. Today she is. Her name is Veronica Mosey. She's been on The Tonight Show. Her list of credits is quite long and impressive. Not unlike Damian Kington's penis. So we'll be talking to her a little later. I really don't know. You're 6'11". I'm imagining it's pretty big. That feminine Australian voice you hear is that of my guest co-host today, Ms. Damian Kington.
Hello. Hello, everyone. It's so good to be on the arse.
It's Dame Edna.
Possums.
Damian, welcome.
Thank you. So good to be here. I was here nearly a year ago, I think.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, August last year.
That's about as much as I can stand you.
Shade.
Hey, I need my distance too.
Exactly. No, it's wonderful to see you.
So wonderful to see you too.
And
Big fan of the ass.
Thank you. Damien has let his hair grow out. And I'm, you know, at my age.
He's obsessed.
Well, it's fantastic. If at my age, I could never grow hair like that. Like, that is impressive, lustrous, silky, thick hair. And you're in your 70s.
Nearly 80, actually.
Well, are you my age or younger?
No, not younger.
How old are you?
I'm 43.
You're a hell of a lot younger than me.
Yeah.
Fuck. Well, that's
what are you, 82?
I'm 50 and fabulous.
Okay, Sally O'Malley.
I'm Sally O'Malley. Yeah, no, but your hair looks beautiful.
Oh, thanks. I've always had it short. Of course, pandemic grew it long. And I'm like, well, I'll never grow it long again. So I'll just like keep it up.
I kind of want to French braid it.
Maybe later.
Maybe for the YouTube channel.
Oh my God, sounds so cool.
Yeah. Also with us, as always, is our favorite producer, the queen of fuckery, JB Bursey, ladies
Yay.
And gentlemen.
Hello.
JB is in an unusually good mood this morning, I have to say.
Oh, I am?
Yeah, you seem upbeat. Maybe I'm just projecting because I'm in a good mood.
I think I'm just regular. I think you are projecting because you're in a great mood. Like, I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, because I got some good dick last night.
Yeah, girl, you glowing. Like, she is glowing.
Thank God, because that makes all our days really good when she's had a bit of dick.
It's so unusual.
Yeah. You know, and at 82, you know, it's like... the distance between the dick becomes longer and longer.
We're not going to get into specifics about the dick. It's too soon to reveal to the listeners what's going on in my personal life, but we'll just say that I may be seeing someone. I'll leave it at that.
Where's the sound of the fireworks? We need, like, celebration.
He says leave it at that, so it's open-ended question. Maybe, maybe not. Who knows?
Well, if the psych ward will let him out for
days. I don't want to jinx anything. But, yeah, that's so right. I spent last night in JB's hood, and he's quite furious at me that I didn't tell him.
Oh, yeah.
Because we could have ridden the subway together.
Yeah, she's rude. I thought we were going to be actual coworkers.
So rude. I didn't know where the hell... I don't know where you live exactly. I forgot that you had moved from Queens to Brooklyn. I thought it was the other way around.
I'm a Brooklyn baby who my loves bad. Brooklyn.
But yes, I was far from my home last night. Far from the land I know.
Oh, fuck, she's singing now.
Fiddler. Jesus. All right, let's get to recommended viewing. By the way, Gail sent us a... very angry email about how she feels about recommended viewing. And
sorry for the gaps. I was too lazy. Not angry. That was the best part.
I actually wanted to read this to you. Now, you have to know that Gail, all of Gail's emails come in all caps. So it always sounds like she's shouting. But a couple weeks ago when we did recommended viewing, I was like, does anyone still even like this? Should we keep doing this? Let me know. So this is the email I get. Hate to watch this TV show, movie, Disney rides. DNR does it too, and it's like they own stock in it and drag it out, and who fucking cares what someone else watches?
Wait, Gail is Harvey Feist?
She kind of has that voice. I don't even have all the pay-for-use channels. I have cable TV. That's it. And then she wrote, oh, I type all caps because I'm lazy, not yelling. Smiley face emoji. So Gail is 100% against the recommended viewing, but then Wayward Tom says... I like the recommended viewing portion of the show. I would have never seen Hacks, which I really liked, without the segment.
Oh, I like Hacks.
So that's one vote for and one vote against. And so what we're going to do is we're going to do recommended viewing every other week, as we have been, but I'm just going to do one show. I promise to only recommend one, have the co-host recommend one, JB recommend one, then we'll move on.
Can I just say Gail's my new spirit animal, because now I type in all caps. I just put, I'm too lazy to change it. Smile face.
I do love Gail very much. Anyway, I'm going to recommend a new docu-series, a reality show, really, on Netflix called My Unorthodox Life. Hmm. It's about this really fascinating woman named Julia Hart. She grew up in one of these ultra-Orthodox Jewish sects where, like, your world is very controlled. You know, they don't have TV. They don't have internet. The women are forced to marry at 18. Hmm. It's an arranged marriage in most cases. They have to have like 10 kids. They're not allowed to work. They're not allowed to get an education. She lived this life until she was like 42, left, and became a mogul in the world of fashion. Wow. Like, she's the CEO now of Elite Models and developing a fashion line for Elite, and is just the most incredible woman.
I love those stories.
And got her kids out too.
Wow.
It's an amazing show. It's kind of like the Kardashians if they were Jewish and had like something interesting to talk
so
about.
So the characters are real. They're not like recreated.
It's a reality show.
Oh, wow.
And I have to say the first like five episodes are better than the rest of it. It drags a little bit. And at times it is a little too much like the Kardashians. But anyway, it's a great show. Who's on the phone, JB?
It's Gail.
All right. I thought so. I'm glad you called, Gail, so Damien can hear your real voice and see what my impression was like. Gail, you say what?
Adam Sank, you evil bastard.
I like you, Gail.
Shade.
I like you, too. Don't like Adam. He's mean. He's evil. And I cannot help my voice. I have thyroid disease. It makes my voice sound gravelly.
I know, Adam, baby. But you have such a good sense of humor about it. That's why we love you.
I do. Because what am I going to do? Who the fuck cares? It's just me.
Oh, anyway, I love your voice.
I do, too.
Same. Thank you, Adam. Before you made fun of me in my email, I was going to call and say to everybody that anybody that likes to hear me talk when I call on DNR should vote for you in your podcast because you're wonderful and your show is.
Oh, thank you.
And see, I voted for
that's
you.
That's so nice.
But now,
Gail.
Fuck off. Nobody vote for him.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you, Gail.
And there should be a separate category where I could vote for just JB.
Oh.
I would appreciate that.
I would second that.
Well, yeah. JB needs to get his own show, clearly.
Best giggling voice falling off the chair.
You do have a good giggle.
I do fall off the chair a lot.
So, Gail, other than being pissed off at me for being a cunt, how are things in Myrtle Beach today?
Myrtle Beach is quite nice, considering the weather in the rest of the United States. Mm. It's been very kind to us.
Good. We lucked out, too. Actually a beautiful few days. It's gorgeous here now. Low humidity and sunny and breezy. So I'm glad things are nice with you down there. And thank you for listening, as always. And I always love your feedback, even when it's negative.
And it's all caps because I'm a lazy, lazy girl. And I don't want to have to type. I don't want to have to put in grammar. Sometimes I don't care if I spell badly. Fuck off. I don't care.
My spirit animal right here.
Yes. You are my hero today, Gail.
All right, Gail. Well, we love you very much.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
And
for...
Adam, I'm very glad you've got somebody that's giving you the high, hard one. Maybe you'll be a little happier now on the show.
Oh, wow. My God. She's skipping around the office.
She's really giving it to me today.
She really is.
Thank you, Gail. And I will update that information as it becomes available.
And everybody vote for him.
Thank you, love.
Thank you, Gail.
Bye, honey. Damien, anything you've seen lately that you'd recommend to everyone but Gail?
You know, I'm not sure if you've seen Katya and Trixie reviewing next Netflix shows, but I recently discovered it, and it's hilarious.
What channel is it on?
Just on YouTube.
I do love those two.
Oh, my God. The when they review Woman in the Window and Legally Blonde, it's hysterical. I really belly laugh.
I will definitely look for that because I love their...
Oh, my God. I love them. Show. Love them. Love them.
JB.
Oh, okay. So you don't find it surprising. My brother actually showed me this show because, you know, me and Netflix are fighting. He came over and was like, I know you and Netflix are fighting, but you got to watch this show. It's hilarious and super gay. I was like, what show is this? It's called Super Drag. Never heard of it. Watched it. It is the dumbest, ridiculous, gayest thing you'll ever watch.
It's Super Drag.
Super Drag.
Is it a reality show?
No, it's a cartoon anime show. 5 episodes. About these 3 gay men who are super drag queens and save the gay world.
This sounds so funny.
It is so funny. It is a great downtime watch. Okay, like don't take it too seriously. Just enjoy it for what it is. Please watch
Preferably
it.
Preferably after
it sounds
a bong
familiar.
Hit.
I think it came out a couple of years ago, maybe.
It did come out for a while, but I just never heard or watched it. And my brother was like, you need to watch it. And my brother's straight. Like, how the fuck a straight guy?
That's funny.
Yeah.
I love a good cartoon. All right, excellent recommendations. Thanks to you both. We are going to have to take a turn right now because the first 3 stories we're doing are big fucking bummers. And I hate to start the show out on a bad note, but these are important stories, so we're going to get through them. And keep in mind, things will get funnier later. Okay, the first is this horrible story that this 26-year-old podcaster, Matt George, an openly gay podcaster from Los Angeles, was killed in a hit-and-run accident. And what was really shocking about it is it was in his own driveway, basically. Oakland, his co-host's name is Michaela Oakland. I don't know this podcast, but it's apparently very popular. It's called She Rates Dogs. And she tweeted, I would rather you guys hear this from me than a news article. Matt was killed in a hit and run last night. I don't really have any other words right now. The New York Times reports that he died in the early morning hours of July 17th while walking through his Beverly Grove apartment complex. An unidentified BMW struck him while he crossed a crosswalk. He died at the scene.
So someone must have seen the BMW, right? Otherwise, how do they know it was BMW?
Yeah, or their security footage. Los Angeles police have appealed to the public for any information in identifying the driver of the BMW. The department has also offered a reward of up to $50,000 for information in the case. It's just like, talk about a freak accident.
Yeah.
Like, people get killed in hit and runs usually when they're crossing a busy street or they're on a bicycle or, you know, like he was in his own apartment complex. You think you're safe.
Right.
And it almost, you almost wonder, like, did someone do it on purpose? Like, how fast could the BMW have been going inside an apartment complex?
It's hard to, when I read the story, it was hard to kind of imagine it, because they were talking about a crosswalk, but it was inside the complex. I just can't picture.
It's probably
what
one of these big sprawling complexes where, you know, there's probably a parking lot.
Different blocks.
And, yeah.
Right.
But okay, even in those things, your speed limit shouldn't go that, like, to kill a person, you have to be going over 40 or 50.
Yeah.
To be going that in an apartment complex, who the fuck are you?
Someone probably drunk or high.
Well, it was like
guess.
2 a.m., right?
Yeah, it said in the early hours. So it's just, regardless of how it happened, for a 26-year-old to die.
So sad.
You know, in the prime of life and clearly very well-loved. So condolences to his friends and family, and I certainly hope they – I mean, you have to be some kind of psychopath to just flee the scene. It's just – it's hard to imagine.
Horrible.
Also out of L.A., this terrible story that we have to do because we've talked about this a lot on the show, particularly when we had Michael Rice on a few years back. Michael Rice directed this documentary, just to remind listeners, called Party Boy, which was about meth use in the gay black male community. And he was the first person who really started sounding the alarm about this white man in West Hollywood named Ed Buck. A wealthy, well-connected political donor who seemed to have a fetish that involved encouraging or forcing black men, mostly like hustlers, to do crystal meth to the point of death. Two black men have died inside his apartment, Jamel Moore, who's featured in the documentary, and Timothy Dean. And at the time that Michael was on our show, there had been no charges. They hadn't announced an investigation. Well, now he has been indicted and is on trial for murder, for murdering these two men. And the latest report is so disturbing that I almost have a hard time reading it out loud. Members of the jury have now viewed video footage shot by Buck himself of his sexual encounters in which he administered drugs to his partners. The prosecution revealed that Buck recorded over 2,400 videos. He stands accused of 9 felony counts, 2 for distribution of controlled substances resulting in death. The video showed Jamel Moore, dressed in his underwear, as Ed Buck assures him he will delete the video later. In the video, you can see Ed Buck smoking crystal meth and blowing the smoke into a rubber tube of which the end is inside of Jamel Moore's underwear. Ed Buck is being sexually aroused, watching the smoke from the meth come out of his underwear. In another video, Jamel is shown smoking meth from a pipe and Ed Buck has the camera focused on Jamel's erect penis. The jury also saw Buck injecting Moore with methamphetamine over Moore's objections. Another shows Moore passed out as Buck plays with his penis for the camera. Others show Moore dressed in fetish gear with a noose around his neck, smoking meth in front of an American flag. The prosecutor has referred to Buck as Jeffrey Dahmer 2.0. So this is just so horrifying and disturbing and really speaks to the danger of fetishizing people and fetishizing races. You know, it's not just a kink. It's not just about like, oh, this is what turns me on. This is about dehumanizing people. And when you dehumanize people, you can do all kinds of terrible things to them and justify it. And if you're a sick, crazy asshole like this guy is, allegedly, you say, well, this is just fun. This is just sex play. No, this was torture. You tortured and killed these men. Police arrested Buck in 2019 after an anonymous man overdosed in his apartment. Critics, including the families of Moore and Dean, have criticized the West Hollywood police for not arresting him sooner. If convicted, Buck could face life in prison. I certainly hope he is convicted and does get life in prison because the evidence here seems overwhelming.
It's hard to find words to react to something this heinous. You know, it's just so disgusting. But, you know, hopefully justice comes through.
Yeah. And shout out to Michael Rice for really
shining a light.
And sticking to it. I mean, yeah. He continues to – he's now covering this case for a major newspaper. I reached out to him and I said, you know what's going on, right? He's like, oh, yeah. Like, he's on the case. So thank God that he made the documentary. I think it probably was instrumental in the police being forced to finally act on this and mm-hmm. prevent future men from being killed by this guy.
Well, so. And of course, you know, the pandemic that is meth within the gay community, not that meth always leads to this kind of behavior, but if there is internalized damage, whatever is causing him to act like this, meth is just going to magnify it.
Absolutely.
And, you see that there's a lot of damage in the LGBTQ plus community, and meth just magnifies what's happening underneath.
Meth turns good people bad, and it turns bad people worse.
Yeah,
and I
exactly.
think this is a case of the latter. By the way, I just want to correct something I just said. The person who referred to Buck as Dahmer 2.0 was not the prosecutor. It was a journalist named Jasmine Canick, who's covering the case for The Advocate. But speaking of meth doing terrible things, making people do terrible things, this next story is about a friend of mine who we've had on the show, and that's Jack McEnroth. Jack, you'll remember, was on Project Runway, went on to become an HIV advocate, and eventually an OnlyFans star. And we had him on sort of at the beginning of his OnlyFans career. He has since become like an extremely popular OnlyFans star, and his boyfriend, with whom he would make a lot of these videos, is porn star Dolph Dietrich, who I also know, but not as well. I'm going to actually tell you, because I'm not in any way a part of this story, but I actually observed some of this happening in real time. So I was in Cancun in May on one of those Atlantis trips at a resort, and Dolph Dietrich was there. And, you know, we chatted a little bit. We kind of know each other socially. And then in the middle of the trip, he left. Like, in the middle of the week, he left Cancun. And I was like, where's Dolph? And his friends were like, oh, he had to go home. There's drama with Jack. So what had happened was Jack had broken into Dolph's apartment, stolen most of his possessions, certainly all the valuable ones, and then went on the internet and accused Dolph of being a pedophile and said that he had proof of it. And so Dolph had to, like, go home and deal with all of this. And for weeks, this went on with Jack tweeting, like, horrible things about Dolph. And Dolph not really tweeting anything about Jack, but just saying, my apartment was robbed. I was physically assaulted. There's someone after me. And we all knew it was Jack. What we didn't know was, like, what's really going on here? And who's the one who's really crazy and fucked up in this situation? Or are they both crazy and fucked up? That's what I thought at the beginning.
Mm.
Well, now Jack McEnroth has posted a candid, heartfelt apology to Dolph online. In it, he details his struggles with drug addiction, including his battles with crystal meth. He wrote, "Dear friends and fans, I am a recovering drug addict. I'm admitting to actions towards Dolph Dietrich and many others with 100% rigorous honesty, humility, and embarrassment, but with the hope of becoming a better man." The statement goes on to say, "Meth binges made me a shitty person. Taking copious amounts of Xanax to come down from drugs was what eventually took me down and almost killed me. I'm sober today." He says, "In the midst of my addiction, I hurt many people, but most of all, I hurt my boyfriend, now ex-boyfriend, Dolph Dietrich. The list of horrid things I did is long and disgraceful, but in a tangible effort to make reparations, I'm listing all the things I did and all the untruths so that he can have peace of mind and begin to repair the damage I inflicted." He goes on to say, "He tormented and terrorized Dolph, made him feel unsafe in his own apartment. I broke into his apartment when he was out of town and took many of his belongings, clothes, computer, electronics, leather gear." McEnroth went on to say he publicly posted things about Dietrich that were untrue in an attempt to damage his boyfriend's brand. This included telling a gossip blog that his boyfriend was a pedophile, which Jack now says is 100% bullshit. It still haunts him today, and I am forever remorseful about that. Dolph, who has really, I have to say, taken the high road this
whole
time, he reposted this and just said, like, Jack is sober. He's getting the help he needs. I appreciate his coming clean. But, man, that's a lot of damage.
Yeah, a lot. But, like, so I'm a recovering drug addict and alcoholic. Mm-hmm. I've been sober for nearly 10 years. And so, it's, you know, and there are many times where I have not been at my best.
Right.
And so, you know, it's not that letter is triggering. It's more I can relate to it, but I can also appreciate the strength that it took to apologize as deeply as he did.
Absolutely.
As long as he's genuine.
Absolutely. And I mean, I commend him for owning all of that.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can undo the damage once you have told your, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers that Dolph Dietrich is a pedophile.
Yeah.
And if you go to Dolph Dietrich's feed, there's still trolls who are like, you know, shut the fuck up, pedophile. You know, like that's
right.
That's going to be with him forever now.
Yeah.
And from everything I have gleaned over the past, this has been unfolding since May. From talking to a lot of people who know them, everyone's like, Dolph is the sweetest, nicest person. Like, he's a gentle giant. And I always knew Jack to be a good guy.
Mm.
But this really points, as we were just talking to before, this speaks to the evil that is crystal meth.
Yeah.
It just makes people crazy. Now, that said, I don't think I could ever do something like this, even in the depths of crystal meth addiction. But I don't know because I haven't been there.
No. Certainly, like, when I was doing it, I'm nowhere near the depths of
to try to
evil.
To take such lengths to hurt and damage another person.
Yeah.
And Dolph hadn't done anything to him, as far as I know. This was Jack just spiraling and thinking that Dolph was cheating or that Dolph – I don't know what it was. Mm. I think it was honestly that Dolph went to Cancun without him. But I asked Dolph about that before the trip even happened. I said, oh, is Jack coming with you? And he goes, no, we actually broke up, but I think it's going to be fine. We're working on things. And I think it was that he went to Cancun with his ex, who's now his best friend. And I think
that just
in Jack's state, that just completely – and I'm not making any excuses or defending him, but I'm just trying to understand how it happened.
Yeah.
So anyway – I'm glad that he's come clean. I'm very glad that he's getting help and that he's now sober. And I wish them both all the best. I've invited Dolph to come on the podcast to talk about this. And so far, he hasn't really said whether he would or not.
But she's not ready yet.
Podcast or come in my ass. Either way, she can get any types of pleasure from me.
That's right.
Okay, sure, the heifer apologized. But, bitch, you broke into my apartment. You stole money. Like, did you pay me? Did you pay me back? The fines, like, there's a whole bunch of shit. Like, I know coming from addicts, apology is big, but fuck that. You violated. You call me a pedophile. You broke into my apartment and you stole from me.
It's gonna take a long time before he can truly make
amends.
If he ever can.
And I didn't mean to, like, it's not that, like, it's apology all done, all repaired.
No, I'm not seeing you. I'm also more mad at him just accepting that, like, oh, it's okay. I wouldn't repost it. I would just be like, okay, this is something you should have done a long time ago. How is it going to make it up to me?
But, by
where's
the way,
my money?
He
where's
did,
my things?
One of the follow-ups to this is that Jack did try to Venmo Topher. His real name's Topher, Dolph Dietrichs. He tried to Venmo him $500, and he sent it to the wrong Topher. He sent it to Topher Drew, another OnlyFans star who we've talked about on this show because he's such a ridiculous asshole.
Yeah.
And he refused to pay Jack back. And Jack has reached out to him on all these different social media sites like, Topher Drew, can you please? And Topher keeps blocking him. So I tweeted, like, hey, Topher Drew, pay Jack McEnroth back the $500 he sent you by accident. And that got retweeted a lot. But I don't think he's been paid back yet. So.
Right. Well, and the other thing too
when you
is
Venmo
like,
someone that you're sending it to the right person.
The apology is the start, right? Like, he clearly has a lot of internalized damage that he needs to address, and it's going to take a long time.
Right.
A long time.
And frankly, and I don't mean for this to sound sex worker negative, I think he needs to find a new career. I think most, not all, but most people who get into sex work after a certain amount of time, it wears on your soul.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that
unless this is the type of thing you want to do.
Well, everyone wants to do it when they start.
Well, no,
I mean, it's
like,
fun and the money's great.
Like, people like Max Connor and Matthew Kemp, these people, they want to do it, and this is something.
Matthew Kemp's done it the right way. Matthew's an entrepreneur. He's got all these different side hustles going on. He's branded himself. It's not just about sex for him, you know? But I feel like with Jack, Jack is so talented. I mean, he made it to Project Runway. He's that talented a designer. He was a champion swimmer. He's charming. He's funny. He's so smart. Like, I just think there's more he could be doing that would be fulfilling to him than this. And I think that doing this for years, I don't want to blame the addiction on the sex work. He's always been an addict. He's been, you know, he was sober for like 25 years, I think, before this happened. But in any case, I don't want to speculate. I just...
Do you consider yourself a pro bono sex worker?
A pro boner, actually. I'm very pro boner. Okay, in much happier news, we have 4 minutes to do all the other stories.
Oh, shit.
Every week, it seems like we have another story about a major league sport having its first gay player, and this week, it's hockey. Luke Prokop, which sounds like a porn star name, is a third-round pick of the Nashville Predators in the 2020 draft. I don't know what that means. But he has come out as gay. He's only 19. He's from Edmonton. That's Ontario, right, Damien?
No.
Where's Edmonton?
Alberta.
Oh, Alberta. Damien lived in Canada at one point, everyone. Anyway, he said in a post, "Today I am proud to publicly tell everyone that I am gay. From a young age, I have dreamed of being an NHL player. I believe that allowing my authentic life will allow me to bring my whole self to the ring and improve my chances of fulfilling my dreams." NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman praised Prokop for sharing his truth and being so brave. Prokop has had 6 points in 15 games with the WHL's Calgary Hitmen during the pandemic-shortened 2021 campaign. I don't know what any of this means. No NHL team had previously drafted a player who, during their tenure with the club, came out as gay. Early this year, Zach Sullivan, who was then a member of the Manchester Storm in England, became the first active professional hockey player to come out as bisexual. That's hot. So anyway, congratulations to Luke Prokop. I love it when these pro athletes come out. And 19 is really young.
Yeah,
girl, she just started life, and she coming out already in
NFL. Those balls are fresh.
Yeah, and she going to be making more money than me. Oh, fuck up.
A lot of people are making more money than us.
I know, but, you know, not to be 19.
Turn a positive to a negative, Jimmy.
Right.
I was just sucking dick for free at 19. She's making guap. Like, that's my point. What have I done?
More good news. Out of Minnesota, of all places, the governor of Minnesota has banned conversion therapy. Democrat Tim Walz signed an executive order banning conversion therapy on minors. His move came after the Republican-led Senate repeatedly failed to pass legislation banning the practice because Republicans are what? Evil.
'Cause I'm what? Sickening.
The governor's office issued the statement on July 15th. Conversion therapy, of course, is the discredited practice of attempting to change someone's sexual orientation or gender identity through psychotherapeutic means. It doesn't work and usually does far more harm than good. Some cities in Minnesota had already banned the practice for minors, including Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Duluth. But as I mentioned, the Republican-led Senate refused to do so he signed an executive order. And thank you, Governor Walz. And finally, this is the last story we'll do before our guest. Is she signed in by any chance?
Not yet.
Okay. Hold on. Let me just shoot her a... Damien, tell us something funny while we're doing this.
Oh, actually, I'll talk about XTube. I had a situation some years ago. Mm-hmm. Well, I was like following someone on XTube and then like settling in to, you know, have some entertainment, watching him, he'd like invite people over and have, you know, a thing. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm there, get ready, watching him. And then I realize the guy that just arrived is one of my really good friends.
Hello. Dun, dun, dun.
My chin just hit the floor. So of course I like called him, like, do you know this is on YouTube? And he had no idea.
Wow.
No idea at all.
That's my nightmare come true, because I've had sex with so many randos. I'm sure someone filmed it at some point. Well, the reason why Damien's talking about XTube is because XTube has shut down for good.
God, fuck me. Oh. Oh.
That was live from last night. Actually, Adam and his new bow.
It will be shutting down, I should say, on September 5th. Yeah, that is what we sounded like, actually. XTube was around for 13 years. They released a statement saying, we're proud of the vibrant commitment we've built. Oh, sorry, vibrant community we've built since 2008. And we're grateful to all of you who've shared your content. Unfortunately, it's time for us to move on to greener pastures and greater things. While no explanation was given, speculation centers on allegations that XTube enabled human trafficking and hosted illegal content such as rape, revenge porn, and child sex abuse and pornography. Last year, 34 women filed a lawsuit against MindGeek and its Pornhub site, alleging they had exploited the women by hosting content without their consent. This is a growing movement by people who want to protect women who are being exploited and children who are being exploited. And unfortunately, these tube sites are magnets for them because they're so unregulated and they're user-generated content. And so people will upload things. I read about this in the New York Times. They'll upload a video of an underage girl, for instance, having sex with a man, and their code words like very young, or like they'll never say underage, it'll never say child or pedophilia or any of that, but there's coded ways that if you know what to search for, you can find it. And
it's gross.
Yeah, and they're gonna start facing major lawsuits over this, as they should. So I have to say, I used to like XTube, and then I kind of didn't anymore. It got to a point where any of the good videos were premium content that you had to pay for.
Yeah.
Like, they used to have so much good free content, and I'm not paying for shit.
No.
As you know. Anything?
Nope.
Oh, this is a fucking bummer, man. You know, I almost sent her a calendar reminder. So the guy from last night just sent me a picture of him wearing a t-shirt that I left there, and
oh god,
nothing else.
Oh, hey, Donald Duckin' it the whole way through. He wants to give you that dick.
Wow. Veronica says she can't get in, JB. Here, I'm gonna give you my phone and you can. Wow, that picture was really incredible. So, here's another story.
I wanna see it.
Yeah, I'll show you. So, here's another story I wanted to mention. The ass. I mean, the Adam Sank Show is very, very close to hitting a major milestone, Damien. 200,000 downloads.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And remember, that doesn't include anyone who subscribes to DNRstudios.com and listens that way. Those are not counted in my in my syndicate. So, yeah, 200,000 is a decent number.
Wow, so much attention for so little entertainment.
For such bullshit. For so...
Ass open to the wind.
Oh, wait.
Shade.
That's the one I meant to hit. I'm thrilled. I think that by the time this episode drops, we will be well past it, because we're literally just several hundred away from hitting 200,000. So thank you all for listening. And just a reminder that the number one way you can support this podcast, other than subscribe to dnrstudios.com, is to leave a review and a rating on the audio platform you use, especially Apple Podcasts. This is how podcasts gain popularity and are discovered. They get lots of reviews. And when you have a lot of reviews, then Apple features you more. So please, if you haven't already done so, do so. And also, another reminder to nominate us for a podcast award.
I know we have like a ribbing type relationship, but
yes,
you do an amazing job with this. Uh-huh. And obviously people listening, you don't see behind the scenes, but he's a fantastic producer as well.
Thank you so much, Damien.
Oh, I nearly threw up in my mouth.
I know. That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. Are you okay?
I need a minute.
Did you just have a stroke?
I'm breathing.
Who are you? How are we doing, JB? She is trying, listeners.
It's the room says she's coming in, but then it kicks her out immediately.
The browser is not compatible here. She's getting.
Yeah, I have to figure it out. Give me a second. I'm gonna restart.
Our producer is trying to fix this. Period. So for the record, everyone, this is not Veronica Mosey's fault. She is there. She's trying. She's working. And now we just have dead air. Anyone want to call? 804-TALK-AT?
And ladies and gentlemen, when you're voting for best podcast, think about these moments.
I hope this is the one they listen to.
Yes.
You know how, like, there's one episode that they use for consideration? This will be it.
Totally. Like,
well, let's see. He talked about death and meth and racial torture. And then he couldn't get his guest on the phone. This is a must listen.
I know.
Hilarious.
Right when I said how amazing you were. producer.
The category for this interview, for this show, is comedy interviews. And we have neither today. There's no comedy and there's no interviews. Sorry. Sorry about it. But listen, this is the magic of live air. And by the way, this is the first time we've had a problem with this platform. We've been using this platform for a couple months now. It's called Smart Audio.
Yeah.
And it's clean feed. And it's basically an internet phone call, but it's crystal clear. It's much better than an actual phone call. And we haven't had any issues. We've done people in other countries with it.
Hmm.
It's the first time. All right, so let's talk about a story that Damien submitted.
God, I feel like the intern.
Take it away.
Hi, everybody.
Take it away, intern Damien.
Well, this just in. Bizarre restrictions for Cayman Islands inaugural Pride Parade, which is taking place next week. The Cayman Islands, a British overseas territory of 70,000 people in the Caribbean, will next Saturday host its very first Pride Parade. But the government's mandated parade rules have raised eyebrows for some of its draconian and absurd restrictions. Aside from COVID, the rules, which the government published a few weeks ago, stipulated there will be no carnival-type costumes, i.e. no exposed midriffs, no exposed chest areas, no exposed private parts, no short shorts, no beads, no bikinis or swimwear, no indecent, obscene graphics or writing on clothing, only approved pride-related accessories.
And once again, this is for a pride parade.
Pride parade.
These are the things that are banned.
There will be no physical interaction between registered participants and spectators. Participants are not allowed to accept any articles from spectators or throw articles to spectators. There will be no alcohol prior to or during the parade. Any inebriated persons will be asked to leave the parade. Parade participants, get this one, are required to refrain from improper conduct and public indecency, including public displays of affection, whining or gyrating, exposing of private parts, public urination and defecation, etc. And then finally, anyone who fails to comply commits an offence and will be removed from the parade, as well as be liable for a fine of $10,000 and imprisonment for 2 years. You know, Adam, that could be the title of your memoirs, Whining and Gyrating.
Well, I didn't understand the line about whining. Do you think that's a misprint?
No.
Or do you think that's like a slang for something else?
Like
whining means moving up your bumper and
what?
Shaking that ass.
Really?
Wine with me, wine.
Oh my God, JB is dancing. JB is
he's kind twerking.
Of, he's twerking, so it's like twerking.
No, they mean like loud shrieking calls.
JB, I told Veronica to call us. Can I just say that list of prohibitions is insane? It sounds like Aunt Lydia is in charge of the Pride Parade.
I know, it's insane.
And how would they even regulate that?
I guess the police will be there, but I was intrigued because it got posted, and then I tuned into a Facebook Live from the LGBTQ Cayman Foundation, and the president addressed some of the criticisms. And one of the first things he said was, "You can wear your rainbow tutus." It's like if anyone's worried, you can wear your rainbow tutus.
My goodness!
But he also. I think getting the Pride Parade approved by the government, which he was very involved with, took a lot. And
I guess they're a conservative government.
Yeah, and he was being very diplomatic about saying, look, they've approved it, let's celebrate that, let's evolve in the future.
I mean, that sounds about as fun as a day at the library.
No, it's like, let's celebrate gay by taking everything gay out of it.
I think JB's got her on the phone. Can we do this?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Let's go. Our guest today was named one of five comics to watch by Rolling Stone magazine, as it's been seen on Comedy Central, VH1, The Tonight Show, Oprah, Dr. Phil, and at HBO's Aspen Comedy Festival. You can currently see her on the show House Haunters on Discovery Plus, or live at the Comedy Cellar when you're visiting NYC. Here's a taste of the comedy stylings of Veronica Mosey.
They're very competitive, you know, and they'll ask you things because they want to tell you their story. They'll say, so tell me about your birth story. I'm like, what is that? You go first. It's always the same thing. They're like, well, I gave birth at home in a vat of freshly squeezed guava juice. And I was surrounded by my midwife, my doula, my shaman, my Tibetan monk, and my Pilates instructor. No drugs. I just wanted to feel my pelvis split right in half. What's your birth story, Veronica? Tell me. I'm like, well, my birth story, brought to you by Medicaid. I gave birth in a city hospital, and I was surrounded by 8 Haitian and Jamaican nurses who kept saying supportive things to me like, shut your mouth and push like you're making a big caca, mama.
And please give a warm-ass welcome to Veronica Mosey.
Hello.
Ms. Veronica. We finally connected with you. I'm sorry about the technical difficulties.
That's okay. I have hair and makeup done. I had like 10 people here.
you had your glam squad.
I did, yes.
Veronica,
How are you?
I'm good. That joke of yours, I have to tell you, is something that has become like a staple in my family. Every time my sister and I are in a fight, one of us will say to the other, shut your mouth and push like you're making a big caca mama.
You know what's really sad about that is it's 100% true.
Oh, it has to be.
Yeah, the lady's name was Lovely. And it was hilarious. She just kept screaming at me the whole time, which it ended up being lovely, but you know.
Was it good advice? I mean, did you push like you were making a big caca?
Well, yeah. What happens when you're giving birth is you think it's going to be this nice thing where you have all, and then you want to just be like, I know I got that, da-da! And then what happens is they tell you, be quiet. And push down like you're taking a dump. That's what you're supposed to do.
And sometimes women actually do take a dump, right, while they're giving birth.
Yes. Thank God I did not.
Can you imagine?
Lovely.
Nice introduction to the world for the baby to be born in a pile of shit. Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Such a metaphor.
Can I tell you a horrible, gross TMI story?
Please. That's what we're here for.
This is called, it's 804. What is it? It's talk ass, right? So I think we can talk some ass here.
Oh, yeah. You can say anything.
After I gave birth, I had blood clots, and they have to give you a shot of a medication to stop that from happening. One of the side effects is you shit your brains out. Oh. And so they whisk my daughter away, and then I'm sitting there on this bedpan, and there's this, you know, the same lady who was yelling at me, shut your mouth. I was like, I think I have to go to the bathroom. And I'm sitting there on this bedpan, and I'm shitting my brains out, and my husband's like, It's a girl, calling all these people while I'm sitting. And then this dude comes in to mop the floor up, and I was like, I'm so sorry, I'm shitting in front of you. Oh, and he was like, it's okay, I see everything. It was ridiculous.
The indignity of just having a baby. My God.
Wow.
Thank God I never have to do that. Veronica.
It's pretty awful.
Women.
But you'll try to get pregnant.
What's that?
Who, me?
Oh, yeah,
I'll never stop trying to get pregnant, absolutely. Veronica, women comics, I feel like, have to fight 10 times harder than men to be respected, especially when you started. How have you handled the sexism that was thrown at you when you were starting out in this business?
You know, not to be a bitch, but just being really good. Like, it's because if you're undeniably funny, they can't argue. And also not being worried about the haters. Like, you, first of all, women in show business are cunts. You guys know this, right? Like, this, like half of the discrimination I have faced has been from women,
from other
female
women.
Bookers.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I think that it goes across the board. There's just this weird jealousy with people. Not that I think I'm the most amazing comic in the world, even though I am. I feel like No, I never let it bother me. I also grew up with two older brothers. And so I was used to like people like snapping my bra and like shoving me down the stairs and, you know, all those things. So I kind of grew up being abused. So it didn't really bother me. But it's definitely been a challenge when you know that it's there. Like it's like one of those things where you can't say definitively, yes, you're discriminating against me because I'm a woman, but you can just feel it. You know what I mean?
Do you think being extremely tall was helpful because you were less intimidatable than if you had been like 5'2"?
Yes, I think so too. And also just being sort of like a half lesbian. That's why I really have always felt this way anyway. I mean, I always feel like I am somehow have a little bit of dyke in me. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Now, do you have any sexual attraction for women, or do you just mean in terms of like your attitude and your confidence?
Yes. I did. No, I did. Yes. And I have.
So do you do you consider yourself bisexual?
I don't know. I mean, once you're married.
Are you coming out on this show, Veronica? Are we making news?
I am coming out on this show. Yes, I am. No.
Congratulations.
I do enjoy lesbian. I enjoy lesbian porn more than I do straight porn.
So interesting. And what about your husband?
Because I don't know. I think he likes lesbian porn too, if I'm not mistaken.
You should watch it together.
No, but yeah, I don't know. So in other words, I've always felt I'm a very powerful woman with masculine sensibilities. That's how I would describe myself. Mm. But I think, yes, being taller and being not as fearful of people. I don't know. I just have never felt like a girly girl. Like I was always like in the back of the line at gym, and I was like, you know, 5'8" by the time I was like 7. You know what I mean? It's like I just
how tall.
Every
are
time
you
I
now?
Walked into a room, I was like, I'm 5'10".
Yeah, that's a good height for a woman. My
it's
mom's
a good
5'10".
Height. When I walk into room, it's like, hey, 5'10". Guys. Like, that's what I, you know, I feel like I could.
Hey, everyone. It's me, Veronica.
Yes.
By the way, speaking of lesbian porn. Can you recognize that voice?
I can't.
That's Irene Bremis when she was on the show doing a fake orgasm.
God. That's amazing. I could see her doing that. She's a very sexy chick. That's very good.
Oh, this cake is delicious.
She's so funny. How is it that
That's
you
awesome.
Wound up on Oprah and Dr. Phil? What did you do on those shows?
Oh, my God. This is so funny because my mother used to always tell me, she's so, you know, parents are just so cute. They try to get your career started by
Not
saying
mine.
Dumb things like, no.
Not really. But
they
anyway,
try to close the career down.
Must be nice.
My mom will say things like, why don't you get an agent? Why don't you get like a commercial? I'm like, that's a great idea.
Right, like
Thank
these
you
are
so
just,
much, Bob.
Just things you can order
you
on the menu.
Sign up for it. And obviously, I'm just lazing about. But I, my mom used to say to me, you should write a letter. You should write a letter to the Tonight Show and see if you can get on. You should write a letter to the. So I happened to be watching Dr. Phil one day, and it said, like, do you feel that people don't raise their children right? Now, this is before I had kids or I had a daughter. So I wrote a letter, and I put all these inflammatory bullet points because I know television, and it's like, and they called me and then got and then had me on the show. And then Dr. Phil stole one of my fucking jokes.
No.
Yes. We are on set, and I had written, I know that they say it takes a village to raise a child. Sometimes I think parents are the village idiot, right? That's what I put in my bullet point. When I got on stage, Uncle Phil, that's because he's creepy. That's why I just called him that.
Exactly.
First of all, he looks like a wax figure in person. He has so much makeup on.
Yeah.
And so we're sitting there, and he goes, I understand that you said that, you know, there's a takes a village to raise a child. I go, well, I didn't say that. But he goes, well, you know, sometimes there's a village idiot. And he looks at me.
Right.
And I was like,
he just thought of
I
that.
Go, are you making fun of me? Yes. I was
Gross.
So mad. And honestly, I was like, oh, that's so bad. And I couldn't say anything.
You should have looked at him and said,
shut up, cunt.
So how did you wind up on Oprah?
Oprah was through Kareth Foster, actually. Whom we love. So she had a buddy who needed some, you know, who was like one of the producers on the show, and then they needed comedians. There was this show about people being sexually, what do you call it? Like Not refrigerated. I mean, I can't think
frigid.
Of the word. Frigid.
Yes.
Sexually refrigerated is like a Jeffrey Dahmer thing.
Yes.
Yes, sexually frigid people and why they were frigid. And they wanted to break it up. You know how shows, like, they'll do things like that? Like, let's have a stand-up comic get on right after a memorial service. Like, you're like, this doesn't make any sense.
Just bad variety.
They sent us a box of sex toys, and we were to test them all out. And I was dating this gorgeous, like, 6'7" black dude at the time. Oh, my God. And we used all that shit. And then we had to go on the show and talk about sex toys and make jokes about sex toys. And then the next episode, the next package was about a woman who was sobbing because her husband didn't want to touch her anymore. It was so
Was Oprah like, Veronica Mosaic? Did she do that to you?
She's a little standoffish. But that's okay. She should be. You know, she's very, very popular. So, you know, wants a piece of Oprah.
All right, we have just a couple minutes remaining. It's time to play everyone's favorite game, Ask Me No Questions.
Ask me no questions.
Yeah. You're a redhead. Does the carpet mm-hmm. match the drapes?
It does, but I have hardwood floors.
Yes, that is the correct answer. What TV show is your guilty pleasure?
Oh, 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh, you like that?
I love it. That one and Darcy and Stacey, which I can't believe I watched, but I have to see these little trolls and what they're doing every day. It's ridiculous.
Who's the worst successful comedian on earth?
I can't say that.
Come on, Veronica. You can say anything.
I can?
Yeah. Who's going to listen to this? Our ratings are in the toilet.
You're like nominated for like number one. I cannot stand Sebastian Maniscalco.
I agree. And do you know how many people say to me, oh my God, Adam, have you ever watched Sebastian Maniscalco? You'd love him. And I'm like, I have watched him and I don't.
He just doesn't say, he never finishes. He'll say stuff like, did you ever go to Vegas? Go to the pool? Get to the pool? Gonna go in the pool? Get in the pool? Gonna go to the pool? Vegas, pool,
I don't
then
get
he like, it. Then he does crunches on stage and I'm like, I don't know what's happening.
I don't get his appeal. Good answer. You worked with Jerry Seinfeld on The Marriage Ref. What's the deal with that?
What's the deal with Jerry? I was like a contributor. We were writing bits for celebrities who were on the show who have no sense of humor. And it was fun. It was cool to, you know, work with like a comedy great.
He's a nice guy, right?
Yeah, he's very professional. He's like no nonsense.
So not friendly.
But he's very no nonsense.
I'm not friendly. I don't give a shit who you are. I just want to get the show on the air. I do a terrible Seinfeld. What is your best celebrity impression, Veronica?
A celebrity impression?
Yeah.
I just do people that are on these horrible reality shows. I don't even. Although I do a good Rachel Ray.
Let's hear it.
Rachel Ray's one of my favorites. She always makes recipes like some sort of a frat guy created it. We're going to make some scrambled eggs with grape jelly, Fritos, and beer. Yummo!
That's exactly what she sounds like. That's a really good Rachel
Ray.
That's
amazing.
Yeah, because she's got kind of that low, throaty voice.
Yeah, she always does that thing where she's like, she gets so excited about something, you know what I mean? And then she'll go...
What has been the single most exciting day or night of your life so far?
I would say the night that my husband proposed to me. He proposed to me on stage. I know.
That's a sweet answer.
I know. Or clubbing at District 9 one night and like having sex in the bathroom with some strange Brazilian guy. That was nice too.
Fuck yeah. I would take either of those, preferably on the same night. Veronica,
yes.
You are delightful. I wish to God we had had more time with you, but you will come on again, yes?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. I love
you. So much fun.
How can people follow you online?
Too. Go to Instagram, just Veronica Mosey, and all of the grams, all of the books, all those things, just Veronica Mosey.
And that's M-O-S-E-Y.
Great. M-O-S-E-Y.
Enjoy the rest of your summer, and we will talk again soon.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Mwah. Bye.
Damien Kington, thank you for co-hosting. How can people follow you? Do you want people to follow you?
No, look, this is my gift to you.
Just like, give me
Adam
all the glory.
Adam needs the attention.
I really
do. Double follow him.
JB is stocking, like a stocking you slip over your leg.
Yes, sir.
Anarchy12 yes, on sir. Instagram.
Yes, sir.
You can follow me, at Adam Sank on Twitter, Insta, Facebook, on TikTok. I'm Adam Sank Official. Tune in next week. Damien's going to come back again, and our guest will be Maria Connor, author of Girl Shock. I dressed as a girl for Halloween, but she took over my life. Subscribe to this podcast at dnrstudios.com. Have a great week, bitches. Bye.
Bye.